Amen. Hey, would you go ahead and be seated, get something to write on. I've got so many different Bible verses that I have put them on the screen for you. We're going to flip through them on a quick way, but you could open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Find Mark chapter 11. And today is part two of a series that I started a couple weeks ago on divine healing. I want to talk to you about divine healing and God's willingness to heal. And you need to understand that divine healing comes in many fashions, many forms, and many ways. And when I refer to divine healing, I'm referring to us looking to the Lord for his guidance, direction, his touch, his healing power, whether that is instantaneously or if it's on a journey of changing lifestyle or medications or surgery. I don't care. The devil doesn't want you well. He is not in the surgical room. God wants you well. In fact, I would like to begin this entire talk today with this statement: God wants you well. There's a Greek word called that is pronounced sozo. And when the Bible says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved is the Greek word sozo. Sozo is a very broad term. It really truly means God wants to deliver you. God wants you to be well. God wants you to be whole. He wants to rescue you. Think about this for a moment. When God saved you, when you got born again, God did a lot more than just save you or forgive your sins. He would also like to deliver you from demonic influence. He would like to deliver you from evil. He would like to deliver you from the evil ways of the world. He would like to help you in every aspect of your life. This would be the word sozo. This would be well. God wants you well. I believe God wants every single person healed. I believe God wants every single person whole. God wants to eradicate disease. He would like you to overcome germs. He would like you to fight successfully viruses. He would like you to overcome sickness or injuries, and he wants you to be well. How God wants that to happen is he's got many forms, many ways, and thank God there are, because we need them all. When Pastor Josh was up here talking and about us being more excited, I got this vision. We got to do this. I thought, I'm going to go out and buy a whole bunch of white handkerchiefs. And when you walk in the door, there we go. Now we're talking. And when you walk in the door, I was going to hand one to everybody and help you become a little more excited. Because there are times we should see that thing waving. Okay, so let's go on. Here's where we're going to. God wants you well, and here's what you need to understand in 3 John chapter 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. It's really interesting. This Greek word for prosper and this one here, it's the same Greek word, and it means that you do well on your journey. That you are on a journey, you are moving forward, you are advancing. And so he says, beloved, I pray that you may advance well, you may go in a good way, you may prosper in all things. This would be all things concerning your spiritual life, your family life, your godly life, the things that God wants to do in your life. He wants you to prosper in all things. Now, you need to believe it. Because if you believe God withholds things from you, then you will have what you believe. There is a spiritual law that is connected to your heart. Your heart overrides your emotions, overrides your mind. It overrides your thinking. What you believe inside your heart will always manifest sooner or later. God wants you to prosper in all things. And I'm so glad he put this, and be in health. Now, it's an interesting thing because this word for health is referring to you being well, that you being healed. Now, you being whole. You said, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm in good shape. So thank God. I'm glad you are. But one day you may be challenged with a virus or a sickness or an injury or something else. Or you may know someone who's going through a terminal situation or a difficult situation. You may know someone that's fighting some kind of weakness in their body. And you need to know what I have to say today. In fact, what I talked to you today about is going to help in a lot of areas besides healing. And so I just want you to grasp that you need to get in your head, God wants to have your journey that you are on with him to be going well, to be good. He wants you to succeed. You are on a journey. I watch Pastor Josh. It brings back memories. He's got four kids. We had six. And I watch him with his four kids all over the place, you know, and Angela. And, you know, what Angela's like a, you know, mother hen, and they're all, the little chicks are going around, you know, following and stuff like that. And it's a lot, very, very challenging because just the, what children demand of parents, the energy. God wants you to prosper in raising children. Amen. He wants you to prosper in being a parent. He wants to bless your journey as an employee or an employer. He wants to bless your journey as a member of your family. He wants you to do well in all things. So we go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without, meaning if you do not have faith, and that this is what we're going to be talking about a little bit today. If you don't have faith, it is impossible. This Greek word for impossible is the word that means it cannot happen. It's not going to happen. So quit wishing, quit hoping, and accept the fact that if you don't mix faith in your life and if you don't have faith in God, you are not going to please him. Your behavior doesn't please him. Your faith pleases him. If your behavior came out of your faith, then it is pleasing to God. But just behaving well without faith is not pleasing to God. There are many Christians who behave morally, who behave well, but they do it out of fear and not out of faith. They're afraid that God's going to punish them. They're afraid that something will go wrong. I don't know why. This is going to offend people. But he's the lead pastor, so get mad at him. My job description changed. But if it offends you, suck it up and accept the truth. Christians should not use the word karma. Karma has nothing to do with Christianity. It is not a Christian thing. Karma is not something that God has introduced. God has introduced, you will be blessed because of your faith. You will be blessed and you will be protected from curses. The Bible says a curse causeless shall not come, but be returned to the sender. And that's from the book of Proverbs that it's referring to, that if you feel like there's some curse in your life, it's not karma that did it. I don't know why I got on that. Someone needed to hear it, but wasn't in my notes. But without faith, it is impossible. You will not accomplish pleasing God because your behavior is outwardly spiritual, outwardly moral, outwardly well done, but inwardly out of fear and not out of faith. You're not pleasing God. It's got to be from a place of faith. And it says to please him. Okay, then listen to this. For he who comes to God must. This is really important. Must. Interesting little phrase there in the Greek. It means like it's the only way it's going to happen. Must believe that God, he is, that he exists, that he is here, that he is alive. He is who he says he is, not who you say you are. I read an article just recently about a group of churches that are moving to become more progressive. And they basically said they're softening up the scriptures to be more accepting to other people's thoughts of life. And I'm sorry, we don't conform scripture to our choices. We conform our choices to scripture. And there's a big difference. Every one of us who got born again are finding scriptures that are challenging to our own faith and our own flesh. And that we have to conform our flesh to God, not soften up scripture in order to make us more comfortable. You know, Pastor, if you say those words, it's going to offend people. Hell is offensive. You know, and righteousness is something God wants in your life, and he wants to deliver you from hell. And he wants to take you out of hell. He wants you to be on a journey of doing things well. God, you must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you do not have in your mind, next to God's word, a definition, he rewards those who diligently seek him, you're missing scripture. He is a rewarder. And this word for rewarder is one that says that he helps that individual find what they're looking for. And now I have found this to be very interesting. I have been around, I've been preaching the gospel for 48 years. That's a long time. And I have found when people are in financial need, when people are in marriage trouble, when people are sick, they diligently seek God. I think it should be our lifestyle, not just when we're in needs, not just when we're going through a tough time, but we should be diligently seeking God. And if we are diligently seeking him, he is continually rewarding you. If you want to accomplish your spiritual vision, your spiritual journey, if you want to accomplish your dreams that you believe are dropped into your heart by God himself, you are going to have to be a person that believes God is, and he's a rewarder. And as you diligently seek him, he's going to reward you. So if you are sick, he will reward you with healing. If you are financially struggling, he will reward you with deliverance in that area. God wants to help you. God is on your side. In fact, we could say you're on his side. He's already one that wants you to advance in life. And now, in Mark chapter 11, we find a story. We're going to look at Mark chapter 11 to get a story to understand a huge issue about prayer that most people don't understand and don't get. It says this, and Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out up to Bethany with the 12. Okay, Bethany is approximately 1 to 2 miles outside the city of Jerusalem, and here's what happened. They arrived into the city late in the day, and activity's happening, and you'll find out that there's a bunch of stuff going on in the temple. Jesus looks at it all, sees the whole thing, and then they leave. He doesn't do anything. He leaves, goes, and now he's in Bethany for the night. And then what happens in verse 12, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if it perhaps would have something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Then in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Okay, snapshot story. A lot of questions. As I did a deep dive in this, I found a lot out of information about fig trees that I really didn't care to know, but I had to know to stand up here. I like figs, but I found out that fig trees can have fruit, baby fruit, without leaves. They actually can bear fruit at the beginning, and then then it will grow leaves. So it's very common that if you saw a fig tree with leaves, most likely it had fruit on it. Then what happens is Jesus, and he doesn't find any, and in response, Jesus says, "Hey, you're cursed." In fact, we find out the next day, Peter actually used the term. He goes, "Look, the tree you cursed." Now, here is something that is absolutely amazing that people really don't grasp and don't get. In response, Jesus said to it, Jesus talked to a tree. He actually talked to the tree. He had a conversation with the tree and said to the tree, "No one's going to eat fruit from you ever again." Said it to a tree. You know, if I told you to say to cancer, "Get out of my body, cancer, leave my body, leg, be healed, arm, be healed, thyroid, be healed," and I told you, "You need to speak to it," you would call me crazy. Some of you would. Some of you would say, "Amen," with the white handkerchief. Jesus talked to the tree. It's important to know as we get going. So what happens is, now we jump to verse 20. In between, Jesus gets into the temple and he flips over tables. He yells at people, gets mad. And you know, the other thing is, going back to the tree, I thought about this. It's like, why'd you pick on the tree? We have no clue. We have no, you cannot get into a biblical individual like Paul or Peter or Jesus or King David or anyone and assume what they were thinking. But I'm guessing Jesus that night in Bethany was thinking about all the money changers, all the stuff that's going on, how his father's house was a house of prayer and they have turned it into a den of thieves. I would imagine he didn't sleep very much and he got a little angry and he took it out on the tree. My guess is as good as yours, because we don't know. But when we get to heaven, you'll be told I was right. Verse 20. So we're jumping in verse 20. Now in the morning, because then they went back. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, we know what Jesus said to the fig tree because it's recorded. Mark records what he says. Peter acknowledges that these words and the form of the words and the completion of the sentence is a curse. You cursed this tree. And he said, he goes, look, the tree that you cursed is withered away. Now, I could do an entire talk right now and pause and talk about Christians and cursing. Because more and more Christians are excusing themselves with foul language that the New Testament, under the writings of Paul, actually asks believers to get rid of cursing out of your life. I knew you wouldn't like this. Anyway, so quit with your F-bombs. Again, he's the lead. Take it up with him. But now look what happens. So Jesus answered and said to his disciples, have faith in God. Okay, this is an incredible statement. Hey, look, the tree that you cursed, it's dead. Have faith in God. Huh? We just thought you were mad at the tree. And he stops and takes this moment of whatever reason he cursed the tree to now bring in a spiritual truth that every one of us need to live by. And he goes on, he says, have faith in God. Well, I just told you, faith in God is believing that he is and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And now Jesus gets off and starts talking about faith. And he says this in verse 23. For assuredly, this Greek word means, I'm going to tell you something that is absolutely the truth and it will work every single time. But you have to believe that Jesus said it. You have to believe that God backs it. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Okay, Jesus has just said, you have the potential. Every human being on planet Earth has the potential to raise their faith to the point that they could move a mountain. Now, all the Bible commentators are going to tell you, well, he didn't really mean a physical mountain. Didn't he? How do you know? What if he meant a real physical mountain? It was a metaphor and he meant any kind of mountain. But I agree with that as well. I think it's both. I believe that you can say to the mountain of debt, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. I believe you could say to a mountain of sickness, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. I believe you can speak to the mountain that's in your life, the mountain of destruction, the mountain of curses, the mountain of demonic influence. You can say to the mountain. And again, Jesus said that you would say to the mountain. Jesus is now talking to dirt. First he was talking to a tree. Now he wants you to talk to dirt. And you got to get over this whole process that, you know, I'm just going to pray and maybe God will heal me. Maybe he won't. You got to get involved in it and maybe say something to the thing. and tell it, you need to get out of my life. Poverty, leave in the name of Jesus. Demonic influence, leave my house in the name of Jesus. And we need to be believers that are doing Jesus things. And he relates your heart and what you say to be one. Then it says this, therefore, and this particular Greek word, therefore means what I just told you, I am now going to tell you a spiritual result of something I just shared with you. So he says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When you pray, here's what Jesus declares. He says that when it comes to prayer, you actually have to believe that you have already received it at the time that you prayed, and then it will come. Most people believe when it comes that it's true. Jesus said spiritual law requires there to be an action inside your own heart, inside you, that you believe when you pray that you received it. Then look what he says, that believe that when that you receive it, them or it, and then you will have them. Whatever things you ask, you asking for a financial deliverance, you asking for a physical healing, you asking for mental stability, you asking for a new job, you're asking for a career change, whatever it is, whatever the thing is, you have to believe that when you prayed, the moment you prayed, you received it. Then it will come to you. Something happens inside before something happens on the outside. And you know what a struggle that is for Christians. That is such a huge, massive struggle. What's happening inside your mind, your heart, when you pray? Okay, we pause the service to pray for people's eyes. I didn't know that was going to happen. When I was all done praying for people's eyes, I was so glad because it's going to be a great example of what I have to say. Every song that we sang has to do with what I'm about to tell you. And at the time when you prayed and you put your hands on your eyes and you let go and there's zero change, did you say to yourself, oh, that didn't work? What happened when you prayed? What's happening in your heart and mind when you pray? Is your mind and heart saying, I hope so? Maybe this will work? I wonder if this will work. I knew this would not work, but I thought I'd give it a try. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. You prayed for my eyes. I took my hands away. Nothing was different. You have to believe that you received it at when you prayed in order for it to come. You don't wait for it to come and then you believe it. Now, when you get prayed for being healed, you receive it at the moment you pray, and now the Holy Spirit takes you on a journey to get that end result. The Alpha is the belief in your heart that God is true and God's word is true. The Omega is the manifestation of what you've asked for. And in between is your journey of faith. And the Holy Spirit will take you on a journey. That journey could take you to a doctor. That journey could take you through surgery. That journey could take you to a change in your diet. That journey could take you to medication. That journey could take you to a group of people to be healed. That journey can do a whole lot of things. I was diagnosed by a doctor 3 times that I had a cyst on my vocal cord. The doctor told me, he goes, I don't want you to talk for 3 months. I talk for a living. What I did is I went to the intercessory prayer meeting that they have twice a month before service. And I said, guys, this is the scriptures that I'm reading and meditating on. Would you read and meditate on them for 2 weeks? And then I'll come back and get prayed for. A lot of times people pray before they're ready to get prayed for because you don't believe anything. You are wondering, you are hoping. Maybe this will work. And when you prayed, when I prayed at that moment, what's going on in your heart and your mind? Who's backing it? What's taking place? So I went back 2 weeks later. They prayed for me. And so that was, I waited 4 weeks to get prayed for. I had to deal with it myself for a couple of weeks and figure out what scriptures I was holding on to, what was meaningful to me. And I went back and I gave those scriptures to that group of people, the intercessors. And then I went back 2 weeks later to get prayed for. And then it was a month later, they stuck again. I hated that. They'd stick the thing through your nose, down your throat, the camera looking at you, you know, and saying, And they wanted me to go into surgery to cut off the cyst off my vocal cord, which means if they sneeze, they could cut your vocal cord. I wasn't real happy about any of that, but they put that camera down and said, you don't have a cyst. It was gone. But it was gone because of the hand of God and prayer. But when I left the room that the people prayed for me, when I was prayed for, when I prayed with them, when I said, I'm ready to get prayed for, I walked out and started thanking God that I am healed. When it left, I have no clue. I don't really care. What I care about is the omega, the end result. Most people believe what they feel and see more than what they pray. We have a prayer team every Sunday morning here at the Cross. People come up to get prayed for. They may have an injury in their body. And when you pray, what's going on in your head? I hope this works. Maybe this will work. Maybe it won't. It won't hurt to try. You're not ready to get prayed for. You should not be prayed under those circumstances. In those circumstances, you should back off and find out what Scripture says about your situation. And then we get to, most people destroy their chance of being healed by not believing when they pray. And it doesn't have to be healing, it can be anything. This is spiritual law. This is Jesus said, absolutely. This is an absolute. Just like I told you, the word for impossible means it's not going to ever happen unless you believe God is, that he exists, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a definition of faith, that's what God is declaring for you. You know, that we need to know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that you have something you have not seen, but it's when faith kicks in. Faith is the part that takes you from you don't have it to you get it. I'm not a fan at all of fast roller coaster rides because I can get motion sickness. My wife is a fan. So out of pure love for my girlfriend, I'll do something. Like take some homeopathic medicine to help calm my stomach down. Or, you know, I found this homeopathic patch on Amazon. You put it behind your ear. It's not medication. I said, okay, I gotta do this. And we go, and it doesn't matter. And she's like, ah! And I'm, ah! I cannot wait for the ride to end. And she walks off, isn't that fun? I said, no. So one time we're at Disney World and she went on that, it was new at the time. What's the one? Galaxy. Cosmic Rewind at Disney World at the Epcot Center. And I didn't go on with her. I stayed in line. I go in line with her all the way up and then I go out the exit, you know. The emergency exit. I'm out because this is an emergency. And she goes on, it comes out, and you had to get it you had to get online at 7 o'clock in the morning, click to get in line to go on the ride. So you're not going on the ride if you just walk in the park. So she comes out and says how much fun it was, and the music was amazing, and it was all fun, and you know, I think you would like it a lot. So we've advanced like another year or something, and we're back in town, and we make a reservation for both of us, and we're getting closer and closer, and I'm getting nervous, sweating, body temperature rising. Anybody with me? Okay. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And we're getting in it. And I'm asking her questions about the ride to be refreshed. I said, does it go backwards? Oh, no, it doesn't go backwards at all. No, not at all. I said, does it spin around? Oh, no, not at all. We get into the cart and the first thing it does is go backwards. And I go, oh, my gosh. And now I am like holding on to all the faith I have that God will not allow me to die in this thing. And there have been times I've been on a ride I'd rather die. And it goes backwards, it's spinning, it's going, and then she thought to herself, this is what she thought. So merciful. She thought to herself, nothing I can do about it now. I'm going to enjoy the ride. Her hands are up in the air. She's screaming. She's laughing. She gets off. Wasn't that great? I'm like, and I literally sat down for 20 minutes. I thought, oh my gosh. I told you all that because when I prayed on that ride, I didn't believe I was going to make it. I was just doing everything I could to not throw up. You know, and so the, why'd you tell that story? I have no clue. It still was fun. At the time you pray, I'm on that ride, and we did. We went backwards, and when we went backwards, I said, God help me. And I just looked down, or I looked straight, and then the thing turns. It's all over the place. And so I am now, at the moment of prayer, believing I will not die. Disney got this thing approved by all of the permits. It's going to take me to the end. I just, you know, hopefully it will be a shorter ride than normal. And it wasn't. Hebrews 11:6, here's what we told you. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. If you don't believe he is and he's a rewarder, your prayers aren't working. Then we go to Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, I cannot emphasize this enough. When you pray, at the moment of prayer, believe that you receive them. And this is Jesus talking. Excuse me. Yes, this is Jesus talking. The Son of God, the Deliverer, the one who paved the way for you to go to heaven, the one who bought you with his blood. He said, not the preacher, he said, and you will have them. Step one of successful prayer is being ready at the time you pray to believe. And so many times people will pray for something that hurts, and when they get done praying, it still hurts. And they will disqualify their prayer by not believing. They will walk away from being prayed for right here and start to walk out of the room and said, I didn't think that would work. You disqualified yourself. You're breaking the rules. You're breaking the rules. And you've got to follow the spiritual laws that are applied. But guess what? They are obtainable. You can receive it. You can believe. You simply believe how big God is. And if you're not at the place that you believe at the time you pray, then pause. Don't pray yet. And go meditate on scripture that tells you how big God is. Get your image of God bigger. Make sure that you believe he cares about you. Make sure you believe that he's looking after you. Make sure you believe that God really wants you well. I started the whole talk with God wants you well. And then we went into understanding that Greek word for journey, that he wants you to do well in your journey. And it doesn't matter what it is, he wants you to succeed. But if you wrestle with it yourself, and here's what normally happens, is you'll get some pain in your body, or you'll be told that you have cancer. I remember when they told me over a year ago that they believe through an MRI that you have prostate cancer. And when it first hit, you know, you hear it from a professional, a person that you highly respect. a person in that specialized field, someone who has been doing that for a long time. It has a lot of weight. A lot of weight. That is where you have to go to something that weighs more. There can be two truths at the same time, and they are both true. It could be true that you are fighting cancer, but it is also true God has already paved the way for your deliverance. That God has already opened the door for you to be well. That Jesus Christ has already died on the cross and healing is available to you. Both truths can exist at the same time, but please, 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 please do not take ownership of injuries or diseases. Never call it my cancer, my cold, my sore throat. Never call it my tuberculosis. Never take ownership of something that's trying to take control of your body. Have no problem with saying, I'm fighting cancer. I'm fighting a sore throat. I'm fighting this disease. I'm fighting COVID. I'm fighting something. But don't claim it's yours. Why would you want it? It's time for you to realize that you live in a world where two truths exist at the same time, spiritual law and natural law. And the spiritual law is greater than the natural law. And you can overcome the natural law and natural things with spiritual truths. And we have to do that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. That the God, this is Paul praying for the people of Ephesus. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So Paul is saying, I'm praying that you get to know God more. How will you get to know God more? Through the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, which would mean that you get to understand God and you get more revelations of God, where you are diligently seeking the Lord, diligently seeking, and he's rewarding you. And the first reward is always knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That comes first. God will reveal himself to you. And as he reveals himself to you, you start to realize he's a big God. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than tuberculosis. He's bigger than gangrene. He is bigger than grout. He's bigger than that too. But he is bigger than the issues you're facing. He's bigger than poverty. He is a God that loves you, cares about you, and his word is true. Then look what it says in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This scripture, this passage is saying Paul is praying for the people at Ephesus that their eyes are opened to see truth, that they get it. They know God, they understand God, they see God. Your spiritual eyes see the future. Paul is not talking about natural eyes. He's talking about spiritual eyes. What do your spiritual eyes focus on? What is it you are looking at? What is it that you are focusing on when it comes to prayer? Do you look to the future with spiritual eyes of fear or of faith? When you get prayed for, do you see fear in front of you or do you see faith in front of you? What do your inside eyes see? Your inside eyes must see what God has declared. You can only see faith in what God has promised. You need to find the promises of God that promote healing, promote prosperity, promote deliverance, promote recovery, promote different things that are happening in life. Their promises are here. And with today, with AI available to you, with the computers and everything, you can find promises really fast. But I would encourage you, once you find the scriptures, that you go back actually in the passage and read the whole chapter. Maybe read the chapter before and the chapter after. Just keep everything in context. And you want to make sure, because you can only see faith in what God has promised. You will not be able to see something God hasn't promised you. You will not be able to see something God has promised you until you acknowledge that it's for you. What he has declared for you is what you need to see so you can have it. If you can't see it, you can't have it. You need to see yourself well. You need to see yourself prosperous. You need to see yourself recovered. You need to see yourself delivered of demonic influence. You have to first see it. Where are these eyes at? These spiritual eyes, they're inside your heart. What does your heart see? If you see destruction and failure, then your heart will try its best to lead you to it. If your heart sees success, the promises of God, God delivering you, God saving you, God giving you your future. If you see your future the way God has already declared it and sees it, then you can then have it. When you know God wants you to have it, whatever it is, that he desires, that God wants to give it to you, that he desires it in your life, then you will now have the power to see it. You have to first accept it is God's will for me to be well. If you haven't accepted that, if you're wrestling, well, Pastor, maybe God doesn't want to heal someone. Stick around as we go into the series. I'll help you change that attitude and that thought process. Well, God doesn't heal everybody. I know people have been prayed for and they didn't get healed. Where'd they go? We'll get to that. We'll talk about that. But God wants you well. Just because God wants something, does that mean God gets it? Not at all. There's multiple examples in the Bible where God wanted something and he didn't get his way. He didn't get his way. So we'll talk about that too. These are, what are the previews to come in future talks, just in this series. When you know God wants to give it to you, that he desires it in your life, then you will have the power or the ability to finally see it. You will be able to read scripture and declare, this is for me. This is what God wants in my life. If you can see it, then you can ask for it. And you gotta ask. You gotta declare. Jesus said, when you pray. So that's asking. In Mark 11, 24 again, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. I've had this in your face three times because you've got to understand what your part is at the time of prayer. Well, what if God doesn't want it to be in my life? Then why'd you pray for it? Why would you pray for something you're not sure God wants? You need to find that out. And 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence, the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I'd like to close with this next verse that I think is a killer verse. You know, just like a killer verse thing. In the treatment I've been going through for the last year pertaining to my prostate, it has led me in the journey to going to my doctor, giving me a vitamin C IV once a week. And he puts some other things in there. He makes a cocktail and he sticks it in my hand. And I sit there for like a half hour and I get the doctor the entire time. So we chat, and he's a Christian. And when he puts the IV in my hand, he puts his hands on mine, and he prays, Jesus, let this vitamin C go to the right place and do everything it's supposed to do. And his whole goal, he said, according to my blood work, he goes, your immune system's a little low. We want to bump it up. He goes, we want to get those killer cells. You want to get those killer cells working and attacking stuff. And your killer cells spiritually is your confidence. Do you have confidence that what you are asking is according to God's will? And if you understand it is God's will, your spiritual killer cells will go and get it. And He says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Here is the killer cell verse. You ready? When you begin to see, you can begin to think, which means meditate. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these things. Meditate on them. What's going to be good? Your healing, your deliverance, your being set free. Killer cell, Ephesians 3:20. Once you get to that place, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, you have to first be thinking along with God and be asking along with God. And when you see what God has already promised, now God is going to do beyond what you ask or think according to the power that works in us. The power that's working in us is our belief that God has already declared it for me. It is God's will for me. I have the right to ask for it, and I see it in my heart. Now God will go beyond that. That's a killer cell. He'll go beyond that. He's gonna say, you are in the journey, and I'm gonna do something extra in the journey. And this is the sovereignty of God moving to say, I'm gonna do both. You didn't even see this coming, but I want to do it for you. That's awesome. That is awesome. Hey, did you guys learn something today? Can we thank the Lord? So, I'm going to do something really different. At the end of one of our songs, I came up here being led by the Holy Spirit and talked to you about eyes and prayed for your eyes. And I asked you to put your hand on the eye or hands on your eyes to pray for. And I would say the majority of you, when we prayed, did nothing. Nothing. You just did that. And then hoped. I'm hoping now that I've talked to you about what you should do when we pray, we can re-pray. So you've got an option. Nobody knows who put their hand on their eyes. So option number one is you say, now that I understand what I have to do when I pray, I'm ready for you to pray again. Option number two, now that I understand what I have to do when I pray and when you pray, I'm not ready. And I'm going to go find scripture and get ready. Those are your two options. Oh, option three is, I don't believe it. I think you're all washed up. You know, God doesn't really want me well. Well, then you need to keep coming so we can help you understand why God loves you. Okay, let's pray. So if you had your eyes prayed for or didn't and now you do, and you said, you know what, I know what I got to do now, let's pray. You are welcome. In fact, let's stand. Let's stand. If you want prayer for your eyes, you must believe when we pray that you have received the will of God in your life, and that is ultimate healing. The omega will be whatever the issue is taken care of. Now, if God takes care of it instantly, we celebrate. If God puts you on a journey, we celebrate. If God puts you into some kind of a program, we celebrate. We celebrate the end result, and we do what Pastor Josh said when he got up here during the transition, is you don't quit. You don't quit. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch people's eyes and bring healing to their eyes. Bring healing. Whatever the issue is, whatever's going on in their eyes, be eyes, be healed. We speak to you, eyes, be well. Function the way God created you to function. Every part of you functions properly. Every section, every area of your eyes are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 As we continue in this series on divine healing, we'll deal with other issues that are important for you to receive your healing, what God wants to do in your life. And the whole goal is for you to walk in health. Amen.